Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Good morning this Monday, May 11th. Welcome to the Morning Beat. I'm AJ, joined by my co-host, my partner in crime, Michaela Gordon, who I have not seen now in a few weeks. Michaela, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm okay. It was Mother's Day weekend, so we're going to talk about how that went. An interesting Mother's Day weekend because nobody could see their moms for the most part.
No.
But how are you? I feel like, we haven't seen each other in weeks. Have you been outside? Have you been going to the grocery store?
You know, it's wild. I think early on, it's the first like few weeks, I think, of this sort of like semi-lockdown, I was going to the grocery store a lot. I felt like I needed to always be stocked up on dry goods and canned soups, rice. I don't know what I was thinking. And I'm so stocked up now. I haven't been to the grocery store probably in 2 weeks.
Really?
Well, we started using a meal delivery service Monday through Friday again, my partner and I, like healthy food. We use this thing called Catered Fit. They're amazing. So we have all of our lunches and dinners delivered to us Monday through Friday now. And then on the weekends, we kind of give ourselves like a little break and we just treat ourselves to, we ordered pizza. Okay, I'm just going to say, okay, I feel like I'm being judged. I feel like you're calling me out right now. We ordered pizza. Not that you knew that, but we got, we ordered Pizza Hut, I think Saturday night.
Listen, I saw the photo on Emil's page and I was jealous.
Girl, yesterday, let me tell you, yesterday we had leftover pizza and I'm like, I'm very logical the way my brain works. So I'm like, well, we should eat this today because we don't want it in our fridge any longer and it's here, so we don't want to waste it. Also, I bought four ears of corn on the cob randomly in a four pack the other day. Like when I did go to the grocery store, I was there once. I did stop in. And I'm like, we need to eat that too. So last night for dinner on Mother's Day, we had leftover pizza and corn on the cob.
That sounds so good.
Totally. I'm totally an Ohio boy at heart. You know me. But yeah, I FaceTimed my mom yesterday. He talked to his mom. Emil's been working on, he has a YouTube channel. He's been working on editing the video footage for my trip to Bali. You know, when I first started here at the Morning Beat, went to Bali in January, right before things got wild. And he's been editing. We just passed each other. He was up all night, didn't go to bed, walked into the room just now and to make sure that I was up for the show. So he's just now going to sleep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's got to work in about 2 hours. So he's going to take a little nap. And then go.
That's crazy. He's so great, though. That's so good. He knows how to edit. I'm still trying to learn, to be honest. I spent the weekend trying to still understand TikTok.
Oh my God.
I literally don't get it. And then I thought it was going to be so fun. So I tried to download it. And then my best friend was like, "You're a boomer. Get over it." And I was like, "No, I'm not."
God, if you're a boomer, Chester, what does that make me? I don't.
He's such a bitch.
I can watch TikTok, but I have no idea. I'm like, I'm not doing these. These are obnoxious to me. Like they're funny, but I'm not that funny. I'm not that kind of funny.
But it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Maybe we can get a TikTok expert on because I don't understand it and I want to know. But there's just no hope for me.
It makes me feel like I felt with Vine. I already felt out of touch when Vine came out.
And Musical.ly.
I signed up for Musical.ly too. Never use it. Don't know what I'm doing. So now that we've established that it's Monday, it's a new week, and we're both old, what do you have for us in news on the beat?
All right. Well, a leading coronavirus prediction model has upped its projected U.S. death toll as more states inch toward resuming normal activities. Now, the model from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington now forecasts more than 137,000 Americans will die by early August. A rise, they say, is due to more people traveling and interacting with each other. It's a consequence we're already seeing elsewhere in the world. China is resuming restrictions in some cities, and South Korea has put plans for reopening on hold after both countries reported new clusters of coronavirus cases. Meanwhile, the UK and India are both cautiously looking toward easing their strictest coronavirus measures. Starting Wednesday, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says citizens can resume many outdoor activities and road travel. Now, Indian railways will partially resume passenger train services starting Tuesday as country's nationwide lockdown continues.
Now, scary.
It's so continue, scary.
Continue, yeah. Sorry.
All right, another news. Several prominent government figures are self-quarantining after being exposed to a person at the White House who tested positive for COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci is engaging in what he calls a modified quarantine, during which he will work from home. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention head Dr. Robert Redfield and Food and Drug Administration chief Dr. Stephen Hahn are also practicing self-quarantine measures. All three men are slated to testify remotely in a Senate hearing on the coronavirus response later this week. Now, elsewhere on the Hill, Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee will also self-quarantine after a staffer tested positive. So a lot of them are now having to quarantine. It's starting to get to them.
Yeah, this is a given, right? I mean, see Mike Pence and Donald Trump going and touring like facilities and hospitals, not wearing masks, not wearing any sort of gloves or PPE. I mean, this was bound.
It's inevitable.
Happen.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're celebrating a great company. Sabrina Carpenter from Girl Meets World is 21. Black Chyna is 32. And actress Pam Ferris, a.k.a. Mrs. Trunchbull and Matilda, is 72 today. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Give yourself time to make sense of all the floating pieces. There's no need to rush things into place. Observe your options and then ask yourself, what truly feels right for me? The answers will come.
That's such a great vibe of the day. I love that. Now, we are looking for answers, particularly with this next story, because up next, a popular talk show host went ghost after a gay man was murdered after he was a guest on her show. Thanks to Netflix, this story is reemerging, and we've got the details.
Now, which of these ways would you choose to reveal your secret crush on someone? A, would you write that person a letter? B, would you tell the person in private in case he rejects you? Or C, would you tell that person that you're gay and you hope he is on national television?
All right, so there you hear the voice of a woman we haven't heard in a while. We're talking about Jenny Jones. Now, this was an episode back in 1996 of the Jenny Jones Show. It never aired. The story was a pretty big deal at the time. I remember it vaguely. I was 16 years old at the time. It involved a man by the name of Scott Amador, who was on the show to proclaim his love for his friend, Jonathan Schmitz. She kind of pushes the situation along, brings out the friend, who is straight, by the way, had no idea. The premise was he was being brought on the show because somebody in his life had a crush on him and wanted to reveal this secret to him. So this man, Jonathan, thought he had been engaged to a woman, apparently. He thought that, and they'd cut it off. He thought it was her bringing him on the show to say, hey, I love you. I want you back. He walks out. It turns out it's his neighbor, who's a girl, and then her friend, Scott. Sits down right next to him in the only seat available. Obviously, they have it preset before he walks out. He's backstage, headphones on, can't hear anything that's going on. Walks out there. This guy reveals that he's had a crush on him, that he'd worked on his car one time. Jonathan had worked on Scott's car one time. And so that led Scott to having these sexual fantasies about him that involved like oil dripping on him while he's under the car, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so he's kind on the show. Jonathan is in response to this. He goes home, stews about it, hangs out with his buddies back home, starts drinking. A couple days later, he goes, withdraws some cash, buys a shotgun, and goes and fires two shots into Scott's body, killing him instantly, right? They sue the Jenny Jones Show. They win a $30 million lawsuit, which is then overturned by an appeals judge. Well, now Netflix is making an entire episode out of this. It comes out today on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And they're revisiting this. It's called Trial by Media. It's episode one of their six-part series. This story is so juicy to me, Michaela. And Do you remember this one?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, this was in the same era that they used to bring like quote unquote trannies on and transvestites.
Yeah.
And they would have like husbands surprise their wives as like, this is how I like to dress. Like this is a whole, this was a whole moment in time. Remember even when Jerry Springer used to bring on like the two girls that would just make out in front of the guys and then they would fight and they kind of got known as trailer show. I mean, this was a whole era of talk shows.
It was a recurring segment on Jenny Jones called Same Sex or Secret Crushes.
Yeah.
They made a whole thing about it.
But this was, and I'm glad that it's being brought back up now. How many years later? Almost 20 years later.
Yeah.
Because it never really got, I think, the attention that it deserved. I mean, listen, he said he was gay and he had a crush on his friend. He didn't deserve to get murdered for it. And I think we were really living in a time where people justified that murder. Oh, well, that's what he gets. He shouldn't have been gay.
Totally. And Jenny Jones revealed, though, during this court trial that she said that that Scott had told her that he and Jonathan had hooked up once. And then when this started to go public, Jonathan was so embarrassed by this. That was the story that was told in the trial.
Honestly, that makes more sense than anything. If he didn't do anything and he wasn't guilty, it doesn't seem like he would be that upset about it. But if he was so terrified and he was hanging out with his buddies and his buddies were getting nasty. And I guess Scott had left him a note when he came back after hanging out, getting drunk with his friends that said, I've got the tool, something like I've got the only tool you need. And that like triggered him. And I'm happy that it's coming, but you know, I loved Jenny Jones. And also that era just reminds me of my grandma coming home after school and seeing all these talk shows, but it should be looked at because I think that so often men are quote unquote straight, but they've been flirting or hooking up with gay men.
Dabbling.
And then the gay man has a feeling about it and then they like freak out.
And just the emotional ramifications of this sort of it's wild. And it's so hard to explain to people who maybe, you know, are not in our community what it's like to grow up. And it's gotten better, but it's still terrible. I mean, I was 16 years old while this was on TV. This is the type of programming we were being fed at the time. And without even realizing it, we're being told that we're the butt of the joke, that who we are as sexual beings is disgusting and worthy of being made fun of on national TV and cavalierly kind of segment made about us. And that then in turn, somebody can go on and murder us because, well, you should have known better. You shouldn't have flirted with them. I heard those storylines all the time growing up in my small town back in Ohio. And this idea that, well, as long as he doesn't hit on me, I'm okay with it. What if he does hit on you?
So much.
What if he does hit on you or she does hit on you?
Yeah, it's the same as saying.
And you're not okay with it. Does that give you the right to go get a 12-gauge shotgun and take their life? Of course not. But that's what that implies.
Yeah. It just feels like the same idea as saying, well, your skirt was too short, so you deserve to get raped. I mean, absolutely. It's really, if you,
or did you see how she, yeah, did you see how she dressed? Who she should be able to walk around naked down Fifth Avenue and nobody should
assault her. Same goes for a gay man. I think that gay men have been very stereotyped for a very, very long time. I mean, you speak about it. You are a gay man. But I just feel like in my experience, I've also seen that. And this was a big story. And I'm glad that it's getting the attention it deserves because it never got deserved. He not only did not deserve to be made a butt of the joke, like you said, for some segment, but to then be killed for it, please.
Yeah, well, the trial by media premieres today on Netflix. You can watch the entire 6-part series. This Jenny Jones episode kicks off the whole series, though. Episode one. Also, just an update, though. The man who actually murdered him, Jonathan Schmidt, he got out of prison in 2017.
No.
So curious to see if he's going to be watching this.
Curious if he's in it.
Yeah.
You think they'd be interviewing him? He probably wouldn't do the interview.
We should try to get him on the show.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen, I would want to know what he said. Well, all right, you guys.
Times have changed, Michaela. They sure have.
I'm so happy. And now we have an LGBTQ national radio station that we get to host so we can like talk about these things that are nuts. But here's something else that's happening. Coming up next, what is code switching? And could you fall victim to it depending on the social scene you are in? We'll talk more in depth.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We have a great show ahead for you today. Coming up the next hour, we have Erica Jane from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills joining us. She's fantastic. She's an old friend of mine. We've worked together many times. She was on Broadway, actually, starring as Roxy Hart in Chicago when everything started to get shut down. She has an interesting take on that and also on this season of Real Housewives, which is so juicy. So make sure you stick around for that. But speaking of juicy, this show Insecure, Michaela Gordon, I don't know if you're into this, but I've been into it since day one. I watch every single episode. We watched it last night as part of our Sunday routine. It was off the air for almost 2 years, but season four or five right now is on, and it's so good. And Issa Rae, her character Issa Dee, has a brother on the show who is gay, which is great. It's representation. He's played by French actor Jean Ellie, but he's actually straight in real life, which is a whole different sort of discussion. And that could be part of this discussion, actually. We're in an era where, you know, casting is trying to be so equal and so diverse and so aware. So to cast a straight character when there are plenty of black gay men who could play that role, that's one discussion. But he's a very strong ally to the community. He did an interview with The Advocate recently where he talks about this idea of kind of playing two roles, of kind of switching. And it's curious to me. I'm curious to know, like, have you experienced that in your life? As a gay man, I know it's one thing to like code switch, right? Like, meaning that in one scenario, I'm very butch. If I talk to maybe, you know, people from my hometown, I talk one way. If I'm in West Hollywood having a kiki, I talk a different way. And how real that is. Also, I'm kind of curious how real that is for lesbian women as well. Is that a thing in your community as well? And is it time that we just like drop it completely? Like, should we still have to do that? And how damaging is that to one's psyche to have to sort of like be multiple things to multiple people all the time?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know your thoughts.
Well, it's funny because I think that it goes back to the conversation of, I think we talked about this a few months ago, what's your telephone voice? Like when you call the telephone operator, do you change? And to be honest, I think early on, I would change kind of my vibe depending on where I was, particularly with lesbian women, because I've always been, I mean, my mom has always said this, I'm the same person I was since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I would go in very glamorous and more like a drag queen, and women would not approach me. They would not date me. They did not get it. And so I definitely experienced it in the dating world. But I think that later on, it sort of is just become so much of who I am. Like even when I go home and I talk to all my boy cousins and I say, well, let's have a kiki, honey. And they're like, what, why do you do that? And I'm like, you know, the rules now. And because we've been doing it, because I've been that way for so long, it's really not a question anymore. I mean, sometimes they don't know what I'm saying. It's another language, but I've worked on not doing that because I do think it's damaging. And I think it teaches you that you're not good enough being yourself when you go into other situations and change it up.
Girl, this is something I talk about every week in my own personal therapy sessions. This idea of like being somebody to somebody that you think that they need you to be. And this idea of code switching, something that we often do in this community without even realizing it, without even having any sort of awareness. He's very self-aware. He's a strong ally to the community. He actually, when he got this role, he did all sorts of research. He's like, look, I have gay roommates in the past. I have a gay couple that they're my best friends, and I aspire to have a relationship like theirs someday. He actually went so far as to keep a journal and take notes when he was speaking to all of his gay friends about their experience, because he wanted to represent what it is to be a gay black male in America, and he wanted to do that well. His character's name is Amal, and he's had a complicated relationship with Issa on the show. I do appreciate that he's taking, you know, these stories into consideration and trying to bring them life on screen. Because while we don't necessarily have the LGBTQ representation in television and film that we hope for, it is going in the right direction. But I know, just real life, I struggle with who am I? I think I'm getting close to 40, and it's sort of come up a lot in my therapy sessions, just in my daily life. Like, who am I right now? Because it feels oftentimes like the world is sort of passing me by in some ways. In the 1990s, in the 2000s, you know, I was one version of AJ because I needed to be to survive. Well, you know, and in many parts of our country, I still need to be a certain way to survive. I still feel like I have to act a certain way when I go home to Ohio, to my hometown. I always kind of like keep an eye out. I'm always looking over my shoulder, and I definitely think I butch it up a little bit. I talk sports a little more often. I talk about Ohio State football a little bit more often, and I love that, but that's only just a part of me. In real life, I'm trying to figure out who I am right now, I think, a little bit, to be honest. And I think being here at Channel Q has really stirred up some of that for me in a good way. But this idea of code switching, I think it just needs to be a thing of the past. And yeah. I just wish that we could all just be ourselves, whatever that may be as gay or straight or whatever those words even mean, be your version of whatever that is, or nothing, be neither, be all of it, like be whatever.
Well, and to your point, I think it's very, very important that we as a society have a little kindness and grace to allow people to navigate who they're trying to be. If they're a little extra annoying that day, if they're a little extra irritated that day, if they're feeling like they want to be really sweet and loving because they're trying to figure it out, like let, like also give people the space to figure out who they're trying to be and try to pull away the judgment. Cause I feel like that makes it even harder when you feel like people are judging you and you're trying to just figure it out. You know, thank you for your vulnerability and honesty about that. And I know so many people definitely relate, and I'm happy that this show is out. It continues making points that are so important. Now coming up, sticking with our vulnerability and honesty, we're doing our checking in segment. It was Mother's Day weekend. We didn't get to be with our mamas, so how did we celebrate? We'll talk about it next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. We want to thank you so much for hanging out with us each and every week. Remind you that our show does get turned into a podcast every day after we go off the air. So go ahead and download the radio.com app. You can take us with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Michaela, Mother's Day weekend.
Mother's Day weekend.
You and your mom, to say the least, have an interesting relationship. You've sort of recently reconnected after the loss of your grandmother. How was Mother's Day weekend for you?
You know, it was interesting. We all knew that it was going to be very emotional. My grandma's only been gone for 3 weeks. And so we always made Mother's Day a very, very big deal for her. But it was nice. You know, I haven't spoken to my mother in 5 years. And since my grandma has passed, we are actively making the decision to work on our relationship, really let things go. She was very emotional, but I gave her the space to be, of course, that's also her mother. And it was nice. You know, I have an aunt and uncle in Laguna who were very, very close to my grandma. And so we went down to see them. I call them my Zio and Zia. And they made a big Italian spread the way that my grandma would. And they had it just like very traditional the way that we would. And we ate in the backyard so we could, so you know, somewhat social distance. But to be honest, and I mean, I'm not saying that any of this is okay, but you know, we're grieving. And the death, I feel like, hits me harder as the days go on, as opposed to it getting better. Mm-hmm. And so it just felt really nice. I just wanted to be with my family, and we were, and we went through her photo albums, and she looked beautiful. And I'll say, like, my family, they all tried to Zoom each other. Nobody knows how to work a Zoom, so it did not happen. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to do, but it was nice. It was definitely an interesting one. I know that a lot of people dealt with the loss of their grandmothers and their mothers yesterday, and that was a very difficult day. I will say that this was the first year I didn't have a not mom post. You know, for the past 5 years, I've never really celebrated Mother's Day except for my own grandma, but it was interesting. And, but it was really nice. And I mean, all I can do is just pray that we continue keeping a relationship.
Of course. I think that's really beautiful. And it's interesting what like the loss of somebody can do to a relationship. It can go one of two ways. Usually, either you go further apart, or it can bring people back together. I was supposed to be home this week. I haven't gone home for Mother's Day in years. I'm terrible about certain holidays. I don't know what my deal is. I didn't even send a card, no flowers, nothing. But I was supposed to be home. That was my plan. And then obviously things changed. And so my family's in Ohio. I FaceTimed my mom. We talked for a while. And then I called her last night. And this is interesting. So I called her to ask her how to make corn on the cob in a pot on the stove. I didn't want to grill it and do all that. I just want to put it in hot water. And I wasn't quite sure. And that's something I could look up in 2 seconds and find very easily. But every now and then, instead of doing that, I call my mom. Because it's nice to be able to like, hey, how do you do it? I can find these recipes online. I can find these other ways. I made pickled eggs and beets a few weeks ago, and I used a recipe I found online. It's nothing like my grandmother's. So from now on, I'm using her recipe that my mom has. But I called her, and probably 4 times throughout the day, FaceTimed her randomly. She was laughing at me because I think I annoyed her, but she also sort of loves it. And I think it's important, you know, as we all navigate our own relationships with our parents. You know, I'm almost 40. I don't need my mom as much as I used to. And that's a testament to how great of a job she did raising me. But also, it is important to kind of like let parents be parents from time to time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, Mom, I will always let you buy me dinner when I come home. I will always let you take care of me and send me cash if you want to. Anything you want, Mom, I will allow you to do that in case you're listening.
Well, I love that. I love that. You know, we love Mama Kath here. Congratulations to our producer's fiance, who's a new mom, celebrated her first Mother's Day, to all the moms celebrating. And, you know, I read this thing, they post it every year, but I do think it's so beautiful. And it's a little bouquet that it gives like flowers to, and the reasons why it does. And it says, you know, for the moms that tried and never got pregnant, for the moms who maybe had miscarriages, for adopted moms, for moms that didn't know their moms, you are also very celebrated, especially within our community. Sometimes our parents haven't appreciated the decisions that we've made. And so if that's what you've experienced, we send our love to you and happy Mother's Day either way. Now coming up, we have a great hour for you. The mother of the Beverly Hills is Erica Jane, and she is joining us to talk about her being a mother to her hot cop son and what she's doing in quarantine.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat on Monday, May 11th. Coming up this hour in 20 minutes from right now, we're joined by Erica Jane from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's a dear friend of mine. She's now a friend of our show. She's talking about what it's like to be in quarantine, what it was like to be on Broadway as it got shut down. She was starring in the Broadway musical Chicago as Roxy Hart. Also, she opens up, and this is rare, about her son being a police officer. She just posted a photo of him on her Instagram recently, and she talks a bit about what it's like to be a mother of a son. She's famous. He's not. He wants nothing to do with it, which is why she never posts him. It's not very safe. I know, Michaela, you have a lot of police officers in your family as well. So we talked to her about that as well. Coming up also in a couple hours from now on this show today, we're joined by a couple who are so kind, so sweet, so just inspirational. We're talking about Ryan Russell and Corey O'Brien. One of them talks about, just wrote actually an article on staying sober during quarantine. The other talks about what it's like to come out as bisexual as a former NFL player. Their story really is so captivating. And they're doing something really cool right now on YouTube that you guys want to know about. So make sure you stick around for that interview as well. Michaela Gordon,
yes.
How about you give the people what they need? And what they need right now is news on the beat.
Fine. You got it. All right. Things are getting more complicated for President Trump. In the run-up to November's election, now President of Democrat nominee Joe Biden is holding a steady poll, steady polling lead over the president, and a new contender could eat into a key Republican base. The Michigan Representative Justin Amash announced last week that he was exploring a run for the Libertarian Party's presidential nomination. The politician famously left the Republican Party and supported Trump's impeachment. Now, while Amash's candidacy has prompted lots of shrugs among Republicans, he could do damage in his home state of Michigan. Trump won the swing state in 2016 by just 10,000 votes.
Amen. Not- good, good. Let be a spoiler. Please be a spoiler. Be,
you got
be,
it.
Be the Jill Stein or the whatever to your party that we had last time.
Totally. All right. Well, in a story that just continues making national news, Georgia's attorney general has asked the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate how local officials handled the case of Ahmaud Arbery, the Black Georgia man who was shot while running in a Brunswick neighborhood in February. The attorney general wants the DOJ to look into the two district attorneys who were first assigned to the case. Last week, Gregory McMichael and his son Travis, both of whom are white, were arrested and charged with the murder of Arbery. But questions have arisen as to why it took so long for those arrests to be made. Outrage over Arbery's death has now reached the highest social echelons. Musicians Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Meek Mill, and Yo Gotti released an open letter to state officials demanding swift justice in the case. And Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms called Arbery's killing a lynching, which I believe to be true as well.
It's a modern day lynching. There's no difference.
I actually had a girl DM me this week, a girl that I've been friends with for years. And she said, well, it appears that he was walking through a construction site for about 5 minutes. I'm not saying they should have killed him, but don't you think that would be suspicious?
Oh,
I said, you are so clueless and so ignorant. And I really don't want...
He was unarmed, going for a jog, walked into a construction site, looked around and left. I could do that all day, every day. Nobody would ever
question. And let me tell you, I do. We walk around, now that we have to be outside, I walk around all day. I like to see all the properties. Never in a million years am I going to get shot.
Well, this is always, this is the narrative of every Black man who has ever murdered or, you know, killed without cause. The press They always, or somebody always tries to change the narrative and say, well, they did this. Oh, they smoked weed one time back in high school.
Yeah.
Or they always try to tarnish their name. It's not going to happen this time. We can't let
it happen. It's not. And so please, we are going to encourage you to continue calling your governors, calling your state officials, and really making sure that this goes all the way. It's all we can do, but we got to take action.
At least get clear answers. At least you have a full investigation and a trial and clear answers. You know what I mean?
Totally. All right. Well, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. Sabrina Carpenter from Girl Meets World is 21. Black China is 32. And actress Pam Ferris, aka Miss Trunchbull, is 72 years old. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Give yourself time to make sense of all the floating pieces. There is no need to rush things into place. Observe your options and then ask yourself, what truly feels right for me? The answers will come.
I love that. Let the answers come. Now coming up next, you love her from the Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's been to Broadway and back. Erica Jane joins us to talk about what it's like having a son as a police officer and how she's doing in quarantine.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. We so appreciate your support. Later this week, we've got some really great guests coming up for you. We have Stassi Schroeder joining us from Vanderpump Rules. If you're a fan of the show, you're going to want to tune into this interview. Michaela made that happen. She also made this next interview happen, which is a big one. This is an icon, everybody. Tomorrow on the show, we've got Linda Perry. Yeah, that Linda Perry. She's joining our show. And we can't wait to talk to her. She's literally a music legend.
What's going on?
Also, we want to remind you that as you're either working from home, maybe you're starting to go back into work, to listen to us on your smart speaker. Maybe you've got your smart speaker sitting on your desk at home. Go ahead and let them listen to tune into Channel Q on radio.com. Listen to us at home. Also, you can download the radio.com app. Take us with you on your mobile device. Anywhere you are right now, listen, you might still be at home walking back and forth between your refrigerator and your couch like I often do. But good news, you can take The Morning Beat with you while you do it. There you have it. We would appreciate this.
And you might be able to go outside. Some of the states are lifting the bans that you could at least like walk a small trail. So now maybe we can start doing hikes with you.
Just don't forget us. Just don't forget us as you go outdoors once again. Take The Morning Beat with you everywhere you go. Please and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon. Chrissy Teigen's in some news. Yeah, what's popping?
She sure is. Okay, so I want to talk about that drama, but I did want to very quickly hit. It was a very sad weekend. We lost a couple really big legends, including Roy from Siegfried and Roy. They were a very famous. They were the original Joe Exotic, the original Tiger King. Okay, they were the ones that laid it down. I'm from Vegas, and they were just iconic. My papa used to drive us past their house, and it was so fabulous. And we would think it was amazing. And, you know, they were together. He was only about 75 years old. He did die of COVID, and Siegfried wrote out a beautiful letter and to acknowledge it. And he said that, you know, obviously he's devastated. They've been together for how many years?
Roy had issues with his breathing ever since his attack, you know, Montecore, the attack on stage years ago. So he's struggled with that anyways. Obviously a major loss. Also, couple more losses.
Little Richard. Yeah. So sad. So devastating. He was such an icon, a legend. And Jerry Stiller. So yeah. There were some really big deaths. Is Jerry Stiller Ben Stiller's dad?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Oh, God.
Ben Stiller broke. You just realized that in real time, didn't you? Ben Stiller
in
broke the news on his social media. He was in his 90s. He lived a great life. He was an icon as well.
I mean, Ben Stiller's parents were incredible. I hope that Ben Stiller's mom's doing okay.
And Little Richard, many don't, you know, give him the credit he quite deserves, but Little Richard really sort of paved the way for Prince.
Absolutely.
Another big one. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about paving the way. Now, Chrissy Teigen, she's very funny. She's a mom. She's John Legend's wife, but she's been quite the chef for years. We always see her on her Instagram. She's always whipping up something delicious. She then wrote a book called Cravings, and she's created a whole brand coming from, you know,
kitchen.
Yeah, just Tupperware. What is it? Why I cook so little? I can't. Pots and pans. Oh my God, that was literally the word I was looking for.
Wow,
that's actually pots and pans.
Okay. You're Italian.
I know, but I'm a mess. You know that. So there was an interview happening with best-selling cookbook author Alison Roman this week, and it made headlines because she dragged Chrissy, and it was kind of not cool. She said that she would. She was horrified by the way that Chrissy ran her business. She said, "What Chrissy Teigen has done is crazy to me. She had a successful cookbook, and then it was like boom, Target, boom, Instagram." Now people are running a content farm for her that horrifies me, and it's not something I ever want to do. I don't aspire to be like that. And so people have started defending Chrissy Teigen. Others kind of came for Chrissy, and Chrissy hit the Instagram. She said, I'm going to just need to take some time calling my kids Petri dish babies or making up flight manifests with my name on them to Epstein Island to justify someone else's disdain with me. Seems so gross to me. And I'm going to take a little break. And I think we've also known that Chrissy Teigen is the clapback queen, but at some point, Petri dish kids, that's disgusting. Now, Alison Roman took to Twitter and she did apologize. She said she never wants to be a woman to tear another woman down. And she really apologized for her comments. A little too late, though. I think that was so discrediting. Well,
Alison Roman sounds to me like a jealous woman more than anything. And I understand, like, anytime somebody, like, you know, tries to tear somebody down for being successful, I'm always kind of curious to see, you know, what it is they're doing. It sounds like she's doing a similar thing, just not as well.
Listen, I will say this, and I will admit this on air. I saw this girl yesterday, and she was on TikTok, and she has now, like, she's a friend of mine, 400,000 followers. And I go, TikTok is stupid. Who even cares? I mean, are they even real? And then I go, you little jealous bitch. You're just jealous. Let her thrive. You just don't know how, you old lady.
Well, because a lot of people don't understand that these things are businesses. That social media is a business.
Let people have their business. And mind your own business, Alison Roman. I felt bad about that, though. I didn't like that they were being mean to Chrissy.
Chrissy's going to be fine.
Yeah, she'll be all right. John Legend will write her a song. We'll all move fun. Now, coming up in our next hour, we have our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, joining us to talk about the county's reopening and how to stay safe. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. We're joined again by a dear friend of the show, nurse practitioner, soon to be doctor, James Simmons. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Good morning, y'all.
I know you're very, very busy turning in your final dissertation. You've got a lot going on, but we do appreciate that you're here with us.
Of course.
Yes. We got lots to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about. So let's talk about this. So states are starting to reopen right now. But we're also seeing, like, the Trump White House is being inundated now with coronavirus cases. So has anything actually changed? Are we actually closer to the end, or are people just getting antsy and trying to get back out there, and states are kind of giving in? What do you think?
I kind of, unfortunately, think it's more of the latter.
Yeah, same.
You know, it's here's the thing. I just keep saying this phrase over and over again. And actually, my partner just the other day was like, oh, I think I sort of get what you mean when you say this. We are not in charge. The virus is in charge. And so if you look right now in our latest cases in the United States, and I'm not big on numbers, I haven't been throwing out a lot of numbers lately, but I think for this discussion, it's important. So there's 1.3 million confirmed cases in the United States, probably 4 to 5 times more than that we can almost assuredly guarantee are happening, but we just haven't been tested for. And 79,552 deaths as of today. We are a country of 329 million people. So even if we multiply that by 4 or 5, that's still only about 5 or 6 million cases that we think are there. So we know how contagious this virus is. It's still out there. We have no expedited treatment, and we have no vaccine. So nothing's changed. Right. We still have a very contagious virus. We still have a virus that spreads person to person. I love the mitigating measures that we've put in. I love that we're all wearing masks now. I love that everyone's, like, getting, you know, fancy with their hand sanitizers and, like, whatever. That's all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, what is happening is that we are having a full step, massive progress forward in our tolerance for people being sick and our tolerance for people, unfortunately, dying of this disease at the sake of getting our economy back on track. And there is some absolute validity in having the conversation about how do we figure out how to get this economy back on track, because it is taking a huge, massive toll. I get it 100%. It's affecting me as well. But this is going to come at the sake of lives. And we just all have to be really frank and when we have that conversation.
Well, I want to talk to you because I was talking to my best friend, AJ, and I were talking about this as well. I said,
me?
Are you going to come?
Yes. You're talking to me?
Yes, I was. And I said, I wanted to see my friends when this is done, but they don't want to see me because they're still scared. They said there's no answers. And I said, you're right. I didn't even think about that. Like, mm-hmm. how much longer should we be in self-quarantine? Like, even if Governor Newsom opens everything, should we? And I do agree that he feels the pressure. I feel like he was really strict until this protest started happening in Huntington Beach. And I feel like he was advised mm-hmm. to kind of start opening things up. And then if that's the case, that's really detrimental. What do you think we should be doing?
You know, it is really difficult because, you know, we did a little experiment the other day. I will admit this, and I'm okay admitting this because I think this is, God, I hate saying this, but this is our new normal, right? This is our new world. Yeah. But we have a friend who have a side access to their house. And so we went to their house. They sat 10 feet away from us. We brought our own food and beverages. We sat in our little corner of their backyard, had our little thing. They sat way over on their corner of the backyard. We like kind of shouted at each other with our masks on when we weren't eating. We did not use their bathroom. We stayed for about an hour and a half. We got up and left. We're technically practicing physical distancing, and I think that was totally fine. But when it comes to like seeing friends, like you said, Michaela, I think these are the things that we're all going to have to start wrapping our heads around because A, we all can't not see people, right? We're just, it's getting to critical mass with this. I totally understand mm-hmm. it. But two, it's going to have to look very, very, very different. This whole thing, especially in our community, and I am one of the worst. I'm a hugger and a kisser and a hey girl, mm-hmm. and I lean on shoulders and I'm touchy and all of this, like, oh, come over, smooches. Hey girl, love you. Oh my God, that's so cute. Like, whatever. Nope. That world is done, at least until we have a vaccine. Yeah. And it makes me terribly sad. And then when we have things like, you know, in Riverside County, where they are lifting all restrictions, including not requiring face masks. And
unreal.
It's crazy. And they're not just doing like curbside pickup like LA County is. But what makes me sad is that there's populations in Riverside County that are skew older than other counties in California. And they have more, you know, underlying health conditions. And after having just worked 3 shifts in the ICU, I can tell you that this disease is, you know, you hear the stories, unfortunately, the 36-year-old who got intubated and died, the 41-year-old with 2 kids, you hear those things. But on the whole, part and parcel, this is massively impacting older people and people who have underlying health conditions.
Hey, James, I want to ask you about that then, because here's what I'm finding as we're a couple months into this new reality. Hearing a lot of people, I'm seeing a lot of people on social media who are like, they ask that question, and I can tell why they ask it. Like, does anybody actually know anybody who's died? Does anybody actually know anybody who's gotten really, really close to dying, who's gotten really, really sick? Because people feel like it's not really impacting their lives. Right. So how do you have a conversation, or how do you maintain some sort of like social distancing or these new norms that were putting into place across the country with people who have not been directly impacted by it? Because for me, I'm a deeply empathetic person. I'm willing to sit on my comfortable, nice, fancy couch and watch my Netflix and all my other subscription TVs and be home and order sushi and spend $100 here and there, because luckily I'm able to do that and I'm still able to support our local businesses. But for many people who can't see past, you know, their own situation, their own lives, how do we convince those people that, listen, we're all in this thing together, and the longer you don't social distance, the more that we're going to have to, and the more lives are going to be put at risk?
I think the bottom line, you know, and putting people's lives at risks and everything that's happening right now, is the word scared comes to mind. And I think, you know, as a nurse, we sort of are inherently empathetic. So I'm with you there, AJ. I think I always try to think about the protesters, people who think this is a conspiracy, and then even people who have like locked themselves in their room and they haven't come out for 4 weeks, you know, 8 weeks, whatever. Both groups of individuals are scared. We're all scared. And I think if we sort of operate from the fact that we have to understand that everyone is scared and they sort of have a right to be, and then start the conversation from there, you know, it's very difficult. I am able to sort of tell people like, look, I know this isn't impacting you directly, but I see it. I have seen your grandma die in the ICU. I have. It's happening. Whether you believe this is real or not, no, you're young, you're healthy. If you get this, you're probably going to be just fine, but you're going to pass it on to someone who's going to pass it on to their grandma, and it's going to kill her. And that's what we're trying to stop.
Yeah. Well, Dr. James Simmons, we appreciate you so much.
We're putting it out there.
That's like the first time I've heard that, Michaela. We're 4 weeks away.
Listen, you deserve it. Thank you for taking care of our grandmas and everyone in the ICU that's suffering from this. I look forward to talking to you. You can listen to James Simmons every day, Monday through Friday, on Drop the Subject with Ali Johnson. Now, coming up next, we're excited because we have our very own Trump He calls in once in a while to check in with us. So we'll be talking with him about how he feels with his valet testing positive and what he plans on doing about it coming up next.
All right, Michaela Gordon, it's time for What's Poppin', and I hear that you have a major reveal for us.
Oh, look at you learning the lingua. Very impressed. Lingua stands for
girl,
language.
I know.
In German. So I, okay, so you've been loving RuPaul's Drag Race, right? You had never seen an episode before, and then you started watching it, and you're hooked. You loved your girl Heidi in Closet. Oh, you were so upset.
Devastated. If you haven't watched yet, sorry, she went home Friday. My partner and I watch it every Friday night. We're obsessed with her. We're obsessed with all of these queens. I love the show. We're trying to figure out which seasons we want to go back and watch now to get a better idea for like these all-star seasons.
Totally. Well, you're going to want to, because the queens from the fifth season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars are ready to tongue plop and death drop their way into the workroom. The All-Star season will debut June 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern time on VH1. And I'm so excited. You know, there was a moment where they had filmed so many drag races that they just weren't putting them out. The demand was really high, and then people were saying, okay, we're over it now. Like, this is too much. So they weren't releasing them, because I know these queens shot this way back last year, but I am so happy to announce that it's coming back. The season 5 will include Alexis Mateo. Bam! We love her. Season 3, she was also on All Stars 1. Blair Sinclair, who we've had on the show, season 10. Derek Berry from season 8. That's my Vegas hometown girl. India Farah, who's also in Vegas, and she's the best. She's been making so many masks and sending them out due to COVID-19, and she's made him so fabulous. Jujubee, season 2, All-Stars 1. Mariah Paris, Balenciaga, season 3. Mayhem Miller, who we all know and love, season 10. Miss Cracker, the Jewish Queen, is season 10.
I used to go see her at a bar in New York City perform on like Monday nights.
Miss Cracker?
Yes,
honey.
Hilarious. Really great at comedy.
So funny. She's a really funny queen. Angina, season 1, and Shea Coulee, season 9. Now it says for All Stars 5, we've come up with a new twist. It is so twisted, it's guaranteed to twist your twisted minds. That's coming from RuPaul.
Very twisty.
And it's very twisty and bendy. But I'm excited. You know, it's one thing that I always wished like American Idol would do is go back to previous seasons and give some of the contestants, I'm being serious, a chance to get back on television, because—
Oh my God, Michaela, find a new thing.
Oh my God, just bring me back, bring me back. No, any of the shows, because I think that like India Farah, nobody knows her, but she was a beat queen. And she, now the way that social media has unraveled and the way that they get to have these huge followings, and the bigger your following, the more money you make, it gives them an opportunity to sort of come back and make a statement. And no, I love that.
I agree 100%. I'm actually a massive, massive fan of Survivor on CBS. Right now, it's season 40. The show does 2 a year, so it's been on for 20 years.
I've watched 40?
Yeah, I've watched every single season, I think. And right now for season 40, they brought back 20 previous winners to compete against each other. It's an all-star season of all winners. And these are people, like, I actually personally know a lot of them because I was on a reality show, and you get to know other people when you do these events and things like that. So I'm rooting for a lot of personal friends of mine, which is kind of cool. You know, not personal, I wouldn't say friends, acquaintances. But I love it. Survivor does this every so often. They bring back former contestants, and they either like sprinkle them into new seasons, or they do all-star casts every few seasons. It's genius. I think what they're doing at RuPaul's Drag Race is so good. I can't wait to get to know more of these queens.
Same. I love it. You're going to love all of them. They have a great batch of queens, and it's going to be really fun. Now, coming up in our final hour, we have a lot for you, including a really great interview that we had with Ryan Russell. You may know him. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. He's made history. He's coming out as bisexual. He's actually nominated for a GLAAD Award. And his partner, Corey O'Brien, who is talking about how the community really helped him get sober. We're going to go in depth with that coming up in the next hour.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us each and every day of the week. We assume that you never listen to anybody else, and we appreciate it. If you want to listen to any of our past shows or any of our recent interviews, go ahead and download the radio.com app and take the Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Now, coming up this hour, we have a great hour ahead for you. In 20 minutes from right now, we're joined by Ryan Russell and Corey O'Brien. They're an interracial couple who are opening up about their time in quarantine together. They've launched a new YouTube series. And also talking about how one is, you know, staying sober during quarantine, the other a former NFL player who came out as bisexual, the first ever to do so. They're really an interesting, fascinating couple, and they're joining us in 20 minutes from right now. So make sure you stick around for that, Michaela Gordon. Before we go on with the rest of our show, though, I'm sure you have some really uplifting news and news on the beat, yeah?
I always do. All right, well, here's what's going down. Things are getting more complicated for President Trump in the run-up to November's election. Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden is holding a steady polling lead over the president, and a new contender could eat into a key Republican base. Michigan Representative Justin Amash announced last week that he was exploring a run for the Libertarian Party's presidential nomination. The politician famously left the Republican Party and supported Trump's impeachment. Now, while Amash's candidacy has prompted lots of shrugs among Republicans, he could do damage in his home state of Michigan. Trump won the swing state in 2016 by just 10,000 votes.
Yeah, here's the thing. Polls are trash. They're all junk. Nothing means anything. I saw a poll the other day that said that Biden was now behind in all the swing states. Then all of a sudden, next day, a day later, says he's ahead of everything. Hillary Clinton was also ahead going into the election. John Kerry was also ahead going into the election. Just remember that. Polls don't mean anything.
Yeah.
But if he can pull away, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 votes, Amash in Michigan, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it. All right, you guys. Well, in other news, a story that's gone national so quickly, Georgia's attorney general has asked the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate how local officials handled the case of Ahmaud Arbery, the black Georgia man who was shot while running in a Brunswick neighborhood in February. The attorney general wants the DOJ to look into the two district attorneys who were first assigned to the case. Now, last week, Gregory McMichael and his son, Travis, both of whom are white, were arrested and charged with the murder of Arbery. But questions have arisen as to why it took so long for those arrests to be made. Outrage over Arbery's death has now reached the highest social echelons. Musicians Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Meek Mill, and Yo Gotti released an open letter to state officials demanding swift justice in the case. And Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms called Arbery's killing what it is, a lynching.
Of course, it's exactly what it is. I mean, these guys were vigilantes. They took justice into their own hands. Justice for what? There was no rash of burglaries in the neighborhood, as they said. It's turned out that's been a lie.
Yeah, that was the other thing. They were trying to make the defense that there were burglaries. There wasn't. They're trying to say that he looked suspicious because he was standing in an open construction that he was there for about 5 minutes. Let me tell you something. He went on that run every day. I'm nosy. I love looking at properties. I think they're very interesting. I like how they flip, what they're doing inside.
Maybe he wants to go into construction. Maybe he wants to be an architect. If a white person were to do that, walk in, look around and leave, something's open. He didn't break any locks. He was not armed.
Right.
Would we have had the same outcome? 99% of the time I say no.
No, we wouldn't have. You're absolutely right. And I think that that's what people have to understand. And listen, I've done this before too. We can all say bad things have happened to us and we've had our own struggles and the LGBTQ has a lot of struggles, but there really is nobody that's ever been treated like a black man is treated. I mean, just based off the skin. And I think we have to remember that, myself included. And it's why we really have to fight. It's not enough to hashtag Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, people like your boyfriend, who are from Georgia,
My boyfriend used to vacation in the town where Ahmaud was murdered. And so it hits home for him. And he knows the reality of growing up black in Georgia. And listen, as you know, members of the LGBTQ+ community, we have to fight for every single person in our community. That includes people of color. And if we can't do that, then we are no better than anybody else.
No. So we got to keep that fight going. We will continue to this week. For now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're celebrating with Blac Chyna. She's 32 years. Wow, she's only 32. That's so interesting to me. Actress Pam Ferris, a.k.a. Mrs. Trunchbull and Matilda, 72. And do you know this one? Quarterback Cam Newton, 31.
He went to high school with my boyfriend, who you just spoke
of.
He went to Westlake High School in Georgia.
That's cool. I actually don't know who it is, but I think it's exciting.
Wait, are you serious? You don't know who Cam Newton is?
Babe, wow. I don't watch football.
Yeah, but he's a fashion icon.
Well, I'm sorry.
He wears like full-on like Versace suits to like games. He's amazing.
Oh, wait, we stand. Okay, yeah, maybe I need to Google.
He's pretty dope. All right. He just got traded, though. All right. Here you go. Give yourself time to make sense of all the floating pieces. There is no need to rush things into place. Observe your options and then ask yourself, what truly feels right for me? The answers will come.
I love that. I think that's beautiful. All right. Well, speaking of football, even though I don't understand it, we do have from the Dallas Cowboys, Ryan Russell, who's made history for coming out as bisexual. He's nominated for a GLAAD award. He joins us with his partner, Corey O'Brien, talking about sobriety coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It is our honor to be joined now by Ryan Russell and Corey O'Brien. Now, Ryan, just a little personal note, he made history in August of 2019 when he became the first openly bisexual NFL player. His coming out segment was in ESPN. It's currently nominated for a GLAAD Media Award. Thank you so much for being here with us, you guys. Corey, you also recently just penned a personal piece for Out Magazine on your sobriety. Thanks for being here with us. And how are you both holding up during quarantine?
Thank you for having us. I mean, quarantine has been tough, but it's also been something that has brought us closer together.
Yeah, it's weird. Days that look so identical, just like waking up, being around your house, can be so different emotionally. You know, some days you can be relaxed and just, you know, happy to, for us in the instance, happy to have someone with you and just have time to take care of yourself and your relationship. And then other times, you know, you want to get back to work. You want to see your family. You want to see your friends. So it's been a roller coaster, but we're
How long have the two of you been together?
Almost a year. We met a year ago. We've been together. I mean, we made it official in July. So it's
congratulations.
Thank you. So much.
Yeah. And the rest is history. He couldn't get rid of me.
Well, let's talk about some history, because when I heard NFL, I was like, is that new acronyms for the LGBTQ community? What does that mean? And they were like, bisexual. And I was like, bring them on. No, I'm just kidding. But really, you did make history, and it's incredible. I feel like there's a lot of toxic masculinity, obviously, in sports. Can you talk about what made you decide to come out and really what the experience was like for people that don't know that story?
Yeah, for sure. I think when people see NFL player, they think all these different things. Like you said, toxic masculinity, just sports culture and the perception of it. And all these big daunting things are kind of scary. Some are facts, some are fiction. But really coming out is a personal journey for everyone, whether you play in the NFL, whether you're a professional dancer, whether you work an office job, whatever it is, it's so personal. And I was at the point in my journey where my own survival was rooted in truth, and my own love and self-love was rooted in visibility and honesty. And I had to come out. It wasn't really an option for me. I was at a point in my life where living in the closet was doing way more harm than anything. And I knew those around me who love me and support me would do the same.
Ryan, I'm curious to know. So this was last year you came out as bisexual, which is a whole different conversation, because a lot of people just have mixed emotions about what bisexual even is. I think for many of us, like when I came out 20 years ago, I used the word bisexual because it was like an entry point for me. And it was like almost acceptable for my parents, even though I've known I was gay since I was 5. but when you did decide to come out in 2019, looking back, I know Michael Sam came out years ago. And he had, at the time, had been, I think he was like defensive player of the year in the SEC, or I believe it's the SEC. And then things didn't quite turn out for him the way that it does for most people who would win an award like that in a major conference like that. Did the reaction within the NFL towards him have an impact on you? Did it keep you from coming out sooner? Did that impact you in any way, shape, or form?
Possibly. You know, it's hard for me to sit down here and give you a list of the reasons and the factors, but there are so many things that more likely contributed than not. I remember seeing Michael Sam coming out and kissing his boyfriend and getting drafted. Like you said, after having such an amazing award as SEC player, defense player of the year, and him, my notion then was very much like, let me see what happens. Like, I wish for him the best. I don't know this man. I know that he's an amazing collegiate player. And I just wish him the best. I was like, I want to see how the NFL reacts. I want to see how he does. And, you know, sadly, he didn't make it on the NFL team for the regular season. But I can't even say that deterred me. If anything, it might have even encouraged me, because he seemed happy regardless of the outcome. You know, NFL and football it's a dream. It's a dream job, and it's a pursuit. But it isn't all of who we are. I just remember watching very closely and being a little scared for him, but very much proud and just also just curious.
Well, I'm curious to know, now you've come out after playing in the NFL, you came out as bisexual, and as people were coming to that understanding, then you came into an interracial relationship. Has that played a part in the public, or have people been pretty cool with it? How does that go? Because, you know, we're still in 2020. We're talking only now about the shooting that happened in Georgia. I mean, mm-hmm. racism is still very real. Do you experience that even within your relationship?
Babe?
I will say, I think the one thing that we are really, we really focus on is staying away from social media and the comments. We don't read them. We really don't get invested in that. But what was surprising for me is that when he did come out, a lot of people had an issue with him dating me. It was just not anything that I expected to happen. I wasn't really aware that that was going to happen. I had an idea that people were not going to be supportive over his sexuality, but I didn't know that the first thing they were going to go to was attacking our love for one another and attacking our skin color. We've experienced it a lot, but I mean, we stay far away from really all of those negative things that try to really impact our relationship.
I would say we weren't really prepared. Like I said, we were focused on sexuality. I remember just being like, you know, okay, babe, you know, this might happen. We're just sitting here thinking of a million things, but no matter what, we have each other. And when people outside of the LGBTQ community had something to say about sexuality, I think we were just ready for that. You know, mm-hmm. it was just like, okay, we prepare for this. But when people outside and within the community started talking about our interracial relationship, we were like, okay, well, this is new, but we'll just apply the same rules. Like you said, you know, don't look, don't read, you know, just focus on reality. Because at the end of the day, if the internet crashes and all social media is deactivated, you know, it's going to be us two in our relationship and in our happiness. And that's all that matters.
Don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we're talking to Ryan and Corey about what it's like to be in an interracial relationship in 2020. Stick around for the new Channel Q. You're listening to The Morning Beat. We're joined again by Ryan Russell and Corey O'Brien.
That's right. And I am loving this conversation, AJ.
Well, I'm curious to know, Corey, because with the shooting, you know, down in Georgia, that's now finally getting the attention of Ahmaud Arbery, that it deserved. I'm in an 8-year relationship with a Black man from Georgia. And so when these sorts of things come up for me, I feel I need to apologize sometimes almost for my whiteness. And I need to try to let my partner know that I'm hurting for you. I don't know what that's like exactly. Does that come up anytime in your guys' relationship where you feel like you need to sort of like relate to each other in a way that maybe you're not fully able to understand and comprehend, but you still want to support?
I mean, I think in every relationship, you're not going to completely understand or be able to relate in any aspect. The best thing you can do in a relationship is just listen and be there for them. I'm not going to act like I know everything or I have the same experiences as him. But I want to be able to have open communication and also understand that I'm here to listen and just be there to support. Like I will never try to compare my situations to anything that he has gone through. That you know, and I can't even act like I know all of it. I'm also open to learning and open to hearing about mm-hmm. what he has gone through as a person, as an individual. And that's like the best thing that I can do.
I think that is so beautiful, Corey. Yeah. You also recently penned a personal piece for Out Magazine on your own sobriety. You've launched an Isolated in Sobriety on Instagram to support the community in need now. What has that been like for you trying to, as we all, like, I know myself, I come from a family of alcoholism in certain mm-hmm. parts of my family, my dad's side of the family and on my mom's side of the family. And I find myself making a margarita, pouring a glass of wine a little more often now than I was prior to the quarantine. What has that journey been like for you through this pandemic?
I mean, this is the first time that I really opened up about my sobriety in 7 years. I really never talked about it. I never posted about it. It was nothing that I really felt like I could speak about. I thought I was just going to live the rest of my life as a sober man and just kind of keep it quiet.
Wow.
But I saw so many people struggling. I also heard about the alcohol sales have gone up insanely during this quarantine. And then I started realizing that like AA meetings or just going outside, it was not happening for us. Like there were no AA meetings that were happening. They were all shut down. And I remember when I first got sober, going to an AA meeting every single day and being around people that have sobriety time, it was inspiration. It was what kept me going. And it was really scary to think that people are struggling in isolation that don't have problems with addiction. It was scary to think that there are actually people alone who are struggling with staying sober. their mind is going to take them just like insanely dark places. So that's why I was like, you know, not only is it something that I can just help people with, but I'm finally able to speak on my journey with it and be open and vulnerable. And that in itself, I'm hoping helps other
people. I just want you to know that I hope you know how grateful I'm sure many people are that you opened up about your sobriety, because, you know, you're young, you're handsome, you're cool. And oftentimes you want that person that you look up to relate to you in some way. And sobriety is a really big deal. It's a decision that changes your life. I come from a family of drug addicts and alcoholics. I respect your journey. Thank you for opening up about it. I also respect your guys' relationship, being in an interracial relationship, opening up. But you've given us a really great insight into your dating life since quarantine with your new YouTube show. Talk to us about that.
Oh, it's been, I mean, honestly, I feel like we're helping and we're showing others what we're doing, but like YouTube has also been a great outlet for creativity and just putting things out there when we're so bored in quarantine sometime. But I feel like we just want to like spruce things up. We don't want to lose like that spark and the fun things that we were doing before quarantine. So we just tried to find a way to do it while we're isolated.
Definitely. Our last video just about making our home into a restaurant. I mean, a lot of people's homes are built to be sanctuaries. You know, they're built to be like relaxed places where you get away from work. They're not built for multiple date nights. You know, they're not built for work. A lot of us are now working from home more often. We're like, oh, I kind of hate this. Like, it's so to be able to repurpose our home in a way and make it feel new, but also comfortable and very much us was just something that we wanted to share with people and be like, hey, there are cute little things that you can do at your house to get away with your loved one, to refocus the energy just in y'all's relationship or on yourself, you know, if you're living by yourself, whatever it is. So YouTube has been, it's been cool, and it's inspired us to take our relationship to different levels in different ways.
Michaela, aren't they so cute? Michaela's 5 years into her relationship. I'm 8 years into mine. You guys are almost a year in. You're like, well, we don't want it to get boring. We want to spruce it up.
Adorable. Oh, I love it. I was looking at my partner and she was like, do you want to dance in the living room? And I was like, no, we've done it a million times already. Get away from me. And she was like, hey, psycho.
I mean, I just joined TikTok and I never thought I would do it.
How do you do it? I've been trying to do this stallion. I can't listen.
Michaela still has a Yahoo account.
I have an AOL account, so I'm right there with you.
Understand. Well, where can people follow you on TikTok?
At Corey_O'Brien.
All right, so perfect.
And when you guys do get out of quarantine, what's your first real date back out in the real world going to be like? Or do you just plan on dating indoors for the rest of your life in your home?
No, I, as fun as this has been,
I think probably a restaurant in Malibu.
That'd be so
nice. Yeah. We need to get to Malibu.
And we need to see the ocean. It's so beautiful out here in Los Angeles, and we don't get to go.
You know what I'll tell you to do? I did this. I took my boyfriend and his mother there for his 30th birthday back in January before things went crazy. The Mastro's Malibu. Right on the ocean.
Yes.
Go there a little bit earlier. Get a reservation. Go a little bit earlier. If you guys need the name of the maitre d', I can get your contact. And get there a little early, but you have like do what you do, your appetizers, whatever, and then be there for the sunset. It's before it gets too busy, but you can request a table right on the ocean. You can watch the waves crash up on the shore. The sun goes down. It's the most gorgeous thing in the world. Yeah. It would be fantastic. That's my recommendation.
We'll be there all
day. Yes, absolutely. Well,
also, I have to say, so we don't get in trouble, we're going to go see our families.
Blah, blah, blah. That's
It's been such a nice break from them, kind of. So, yeah, but now we're ready.
It's time. Well, we appreciate you guys so much. I cannot say it again. Thank you so much for your vulnerability and your honesty on our show and just in life. Congratulations on your GLAAD nomination. Congratulations on an amazing letter about your sobriety. It may be 1 year, but we all start somewhere, and congratulations to many, many years and a beautiful family. Thank you so much. You're always welcome here on Channel Q.
Thank you, guys.
Find out what celebrity producer is auctioning off props and costumes to benefit the Actors Fund in our segment, Life Goes On, coming up next.
All right, for Life Goes On today, we have three fun, inspiring stories to uplift you and send you off into your Monday. This first one, you alluded to it a moment ago, Michaela Gordon, but the famous producer is Ryan Murphy. He's auctioning off costumes from shows like Hollywood, which is on Netflix right now, American Horror Story, which has been on for, you know, 10 seasons now, and more to benefit the Actors Fund. Now, he's partnered with the Actors Fund COVID-19 Emergency Financial Assistance Fund to help those in the performing arts entertainment community impacted. You know, as you know, for every major celebrity, major star, major Broadway actor that we know of, there are countless others who are not big names, who do not have millions of dollars in their bank accounts, who, you know, struggle paycheck to paycheck, gig to gig. So they're trying to raise money right now. I love this. He's also got stuff from Boys in the Band, Pose, Scream Queens, so many great iconic projects. These have been worn by the likes of Patti LuPone, Billy Porter, Darren Criss, MJ Rodriguez. I mean, the list goes on and on. And also an autographed photo of Lady Gaga, including some signed scripts and playbills, auctioning all of it off every Tuesday, which is really, really, I think, a really great way to bring, you know, not just awareness and to raise funds, but also to do something kind of fun and give us all a little bit of piece of memorabilia in the process.
That's right. I love that. You know, we talked to Todrick Hall, who was also doing the same thing very early on, but it's nice to see so many people coming together, helping out, because I don't see Broadway going back until at least, I don't know. I mean, what, August, September? And then are they even going to have live seating?
Well, girl, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't do anybody good for them to hold on to these things. If you can make some money off it, bring joy to people's lives. Just yesterday, I was cleaning out our bedroom and my partner, God love him, it is like pulling teeth to get him to let go of anything. He had a book. You know, when you're a server, you have like a book that you write your notes in and like you take orders in. His server book from his last restaurant before he, you know, completely left and worked, you know, on camera as a television and personality, he would not let me get rid of it. I threw it away and I went back and I found out he kept it. So kudos to Ryan Murphy.
All right, you guys, well, this story is really sweet. So you're probably taking a lot more walks as of lately, and you see all of these wildflowers growing everywhere and you think they're just weeds. But what started in France is leading to a campaign called More Than Weeds in London. And it's the act of highlighting the names of wildflowers and other plants and bringing it to social media, where there's images and videos racking up hundreds of thousands. One video viewed 7 million times from a French website. They take chalk and they mark the name of the wildflower. And they're saying, I wanted to raise awareness of the presence, knowledge, and respect of these wild plants on these sidewalks. People had never taken the time to observe these plants now. Tell me their views have changed. Schools have contacted me since to work with students on nature in the city. And I think that's great, because I was walking down the street a few days ago and my neighbor who I was walking with was like, oh, they need to clean up these sidewalks. I mean, there's just wild bushes everywhere. And then to really mark them and know that they have a name and they're not just weeds. I love that.
And also, before the sidewalks and the humans were there, the plants were there. So it's actually their home.
Hello.
This last story is really great. This reminds me, gosh, this takes me back to my freshman year of college. Marco's Pizza, big deal in Ohio, University of Toledo. This one's coming out of the Colony in Texas. Marco's Pizza Shop was apparently burglarized. Surveillance from the security camera showed that the burglars appeared to be amateur, kind of fumbling around the drawers for like 5 minutes looking for whatever they get their hands on. There wasn't a lot there, obviously. And so instead of, you know, filing charges and taking this as a we need to lock down and be more secure, the owner took it as a reminder that people are in desperate times right now. And he decided to do something to help. So he wrote this: in the coming months, if you find yourself in a situation unable to put food on the table, please stop by our store. There's no need to be shy or embarrassed. Just speak with the manager and quietly let us know you've seen this post. We'll make sure your family gets a meal. So he realized these people were desperate. They're just looking for food. Instead of prosecuting them, he said, okay, I'm going to open my store up and feed people. How fantastic is that?
I love that story. Oh my God, that's a perfect way to sail into our entire week. Try to be kind. Try to be giving. We have a great show for you this whole week. We have Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules joining us. But tomorrow, the queen, the icon, Linda Perry, joins us to talk about a new campaign she's doing and how she's helping benefit Broadway dancer Nick Cordero. We'll have that. Have a great rest of your day and stay safe.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.